You're listening to episode 328, not 329.
Well, hello, and welcome to episode 329 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast.
Oh, is it 329 or 328?
I have 329 on my list.
Let's go with that then. Yeah, I believe you.
Yes. Well, this is the movie review podcast when we're not interrupted, where we review movies. And just so you know, we will be spoiling them. So if we discuss a movie that maybe you're interested in but don't want to get spoiled, skip ahead a few minutes and then come back and listen again once you've seen the movie. I am the, intrepid reporter from south of Canada in the United States. I am Doug.
I am still in existence, and I'm north of the 49th parallel, and I'm Simon.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you being in existence.
Well, for now. I mean, I'm sure it'll change at some point in my life, but not that I foresee in the nearby future.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, there is somebody who's no longer in existence. And that just happened this week. Oscar winner Louis Gossett Jr. has passed away.
Yes, and I've met him twice.
That's awesome.
So I can't remember. I wish I could remember the movie. I remember it being a really cold, I think it was November probably in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it was cold. And I'm talking, we saw him go into his trailer. We were on the set, me and my buddy. Oh, this is going back. Probably 25 years ago. And we watch him walk in his trailer. We go home, and his guy goes, he'll sign, but after his lunch. We had to wait an hour extra after seeing him, but he did sign. He came to the door and signed everything, came out. That's story one. That's the quick one. Number two is he's at the film festival. Oh, I haven't done the film probably 4 or 5 years ago. Pre-COVID, he was at the festival. Probably the one, just the last one before COVID, I think. And everybody said, well, he doesn't sign. He doesn't sign. I said, no, I met him years ago. He signs. Well, he blew me off. Well, he came out, signed. So I chased around about 50 people and got him again. And he goes, didn't I sign for you? And I said, no, you told me that I had to chase after you to get you signed. He's like, oh, okay. So he signed two for me. Okay. So I have Jaws. Is he in Jaws 2 or 3?
3. He's in 3D.
So I have 2 8x10 signed to the Jaws 3 promos.
Nice.
So I do. That's the only Louis Gossett Jr. story I have. I don't have anything else for you. That's about it for Louis Gossett. I wish I had more. Say he was like, he signed. I can't remember when I got him signed the first time. I mean, I'm sure if I spent a couple hours looking through my vast pile of 8x10s and binders that aren't really in order, I would find what he signed. Probably Iron Eagle is my guess.
Probably, yeah. I know he's an Oscar winner, but I have fond memories of like his 80s movies, you know, Iron Eagle, Enemy Mine, Firewalker with Chuck Norris. Yeah, I mean,
I've seen all great.
He was a big part of the 80s for me.
I think 4 or 5 Iron Eagle films. I've seen them all.
Okay.
And I think just I stopped keep after getting two. Worse. They keep getting 4 is pretty bad. The last one's really bad. Terrible film. So, Doug, I have fantastic news. It just, you know, our listeners will know. I have now finished all my 2022 movies. 2022 done. Watched the last one this morning.
Okay.
I finished the night before, 2023, all done.
Okay.
So now I'm on 2024 movies.
All right.
And I started Ordinary Angels.
Never even heard of that one.
It had a theatrical release for probably about 2 weeks.
Okay.
With Hilary Swank playing an ordinary angel.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Well, I never heard of it.
People should rush to see it, nor is ever going to appear on a list, but I am watching that right now.
All right.
And what have you been up to?
Not too much. I will be perfectly honest with you. I've just been, I've watched all the movies for this podcast and maybe just a couple here and there that aren't on this list. But mostly I've been, you know, boring stuff, working. I did, actually, that's a lie. my younger son Dylan was in the high school production of Mean Girls. So
who did he play?
He played Coach Carr. So he had in the musical version, that's John Hamm's role.
Okay.
So I did see the Mean Girls, the musical, about four times last weekend. So,
ouch.
So that's what I've been up to.
Ouch.
It wasn't bad. I will say, after we watched the high school production, the family, we watched the recent musical movie version, and the high school performers were actually just as good, if not better, in some cases, than the movie musical that just came out.
I did not enjoy the musical that just came out. So I will accept that as an answer.
I mean, there are I'm not saying that there aren't good performers in the movie. I mean, Renee Rapp was amazing as the head plastic, whose name I'm forgetting right now.
Regina.
Yes, Regina George, and she is a very big deal. I remember that now. She was great in the movie, but I have to say the kid who played Regina George in the high school, she was just as good. So
well, I don't think it's hard to do Mean Girls, I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
I think it's a little basic, but I'm going to get some hate mail. But then you can send that hate mail to extrafeatures@gmail.com. Attention, Doug.
I'll take it. I'll take your Mean Girls hate mail.
I know you will. I don't read an email.
You can put it in your burn book.
Oh, ouch. Okay. Continuing on, Doug.
Yes.
Kevin decided not to join us today. So, oh, well.
Okay.
He had his opportunity. I'm about halfway through season 6 of The Love Boat, if anybody cares.
Congratulations, I guess.
Marsha showed up again.
In my house, we've now watched 3 of the 4 episodes of the Quiet on the Set documentary about the child exploitation at Nickelodeon in the early 2000s.
Oh, is that interesting? I've been reading highlights of it.
It is very interesting, but it probably not family viewing, but my family is, I guess you could say, different. So we've been watching it as a family, and yeah, we're 3/4 of the way done.
I'm sure once my daughter discovers it exists, I'll get a full schedule of highlights of the Nickelodeon backstory.
Yes. It is rough. Some bad things have happened. So.
I'm sure it did, because people weren't monitored as much as they are now.
Yes. All right. So are you ready to get into some reviews?
Ready to rumble. Sure. That's what I'm here for.
All right. Then let's do it. Let's start it off with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, directed by Gil Keenan, starring Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt in a scene, and all the original Ghostbusters except for Harold Ramis come back.
Yay.
Yes. I'll start off on this one if you want.
Please do.
I despised Afterlife. Afterlife made my bottom 10 of the year it came out.
I didn't hate it that much.
I will say this movie was better than Afterlife, but that for me is not really saying much. I thought it was fine. But towards the end, I lost all interest once there was a Skybeam for the good guys to fight. I mean, I thought Skybeams have been, you know, cliched now for over a decade, but apparently not, because there's 2 movies on this list we'll be discussing that have Skybeams in them. So they're still being used. Honestly, if it really wasn't for Kumail Nanjiani's character, this movie would have been a 1-star movie for me. I think Kumail's character actually kind of expands the mythology of the Ghostbusters universe in kind of interesting ways. That's about all I could say about this movie that I liked. I take that back. McKenna Grace She was very good. She was the lead of this movie. She carried this movie on her back. But really, Kumail's character and McKenna Grace, that's about all this movie has going for it, in my opinion. Otherwise, it was just a retread. I thought some of the CGI was incredibly poor at times, especially the opening of the movie where the camera pans down and you see 1940s New York. That looked all animated to me. That didn't look like it was real at all. And I guess my final thought is I think Podcast is probably the most insulting character created by middle-aged men to connect with the youth of today. That name is just awful. He doesn't even podcast in this movie. He's now a YouTube video editor, producer. It was awful. I mean, I gave Afterlife 1, maybe 1.5 stars. Wow. This I give 2.5 stars out of 5.
Okay. I'm going to give you a different point of view. I quite enjoyed this.
Okay.
When I realized it wasn't for adults, it did take me a few minutes. Then realized this is a kid's movie. This is for 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Okay. It's not for adults. Then the love story stuff, all that Rick Moranis stuff, all the Eddie Pot, gone. That, just take that out of the movie. That's a little too adult for this. So if I take it for like a Stranger Things, I really feel they're going for that vibe in this film. Okay. But it actually works for me on that level. Because nothing is too scary.
No.
I mean, Stranger Things is bordering on a little more adult, I think, but this isn't. Nothing is too scary for the kids. So if you take it to that level and take it as a kid's movie, I think it works.
Okay.
You know, I mean, great Uncle Dan comes in with his good jokes. They know me here. And I thought that scene worked well. Okay. The two statues move, that worked for me. I'm like, okay. Ernie Hudson saying, hey, guys, you can't destroy things. You know, we got need a good worker. I'm like, again, that works if you treat it for what it is.
Okay.
If we take it out of the adult range and move it to a kid's movie, I find this works perfectly. And I think that's what me going into it finally realized. This is not for adults. This is for kids. This is not my – I hate to use the term not my Ghostbusters, but it really is not my Ghostbusters. All my old Ghostbusters look like they're 90.
Yeah, so but then why were they in this? I think they were wasted. Just,
they didn't have much to do. But I'm kind of getting to the, like, Bill Murray, why are you in this?
Yeah, I
could not figure out why they had Bill Murray. Oh, yeah, free money here, Bill. Yeah. I might be a few hundred thousand short this year. Here you go. I think Dan Aykroyd actually tries in this film. I find Ernie Hudson actually tries in this film. Like I said, they let Phil and Will Hart finally drive the car. I thought that was kind of funny. McKenna Grace was fine. I just feel it. There was no drama, like no real challenge to beat this guy. Like we all knew they were going to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he doesn't even seem that evil for me.
Yeah. I mean, you liked it more than I did.
I know I did.
I felt this was also a waste of the talents of most of the cast. I mean,
Camille Nanjiani was totally wasted.
Yeah. Carrie Coon, who I think is a great actress, she was nothing completely wasted. Paul Rudd was wasted.
But if you look at it as a kid's movie, like I've decided, what do you think now? Does it work better? Yes, it does.
Maybe, but then if it's a kid's movie, Finn Wolfhard was wasted.
I mean, he got to drive the car. They reward him at the end.
But that's all he gets to do. He gets slimed.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Do I think this movie's great? No. And Camille Nanjiani saves it. I think I gave it a 2.5, maybe a 3, because I kind of got it as a kid's movie. So I'm like, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 because I think it's watchable.
Okay.
I think it's enjoyable, and I think kids will get something out of it. Now, I agree with you on all your other points, and I feel that I thought the opening scene made no sense until I started going, oh, I understand what happened now. It took us forever to explain that opening scene.
Yes.
I was kind of like, what is going on? They go New York, 1930-something. I'm like, okay. And then they all get like, what happened? Like, I would like to have had a scene maybe with Camille Nanjiani's grandmother.
Yeah.
or show me how we got this thing into this ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all knew the ball was going to be the what am I looking for, the MacGuffin of the film. Yes. That was pretty evident when they introduced it. I'm like, okay. But I'm like, do something. Like, I need more depth here. Like, I find this film is just McKenna Grace trying to find herself.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think on her part, she was great. I thought she was very good in this movie. I just feel like almost every other actor in this movie was wasted. I mean, Patton Oswalt, he had one scene.
Paycheck, buddy. Paycheck. It's Patton Oswalt. Yeah. Gotta have him.
I guess so.
I just wish, I wish they knew what they wanted to do with this franchise. Mm-hmm. Do we want it to be for kids or do we want it to be for adults? Or we want something in between? And if they're going for the in-between, that's fine. But we got to get rid of the old guys.
Yes, I agree.
We
got to
let these people stand on their own, which I think they could do. The cast is fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, give me some consequence for this. Like, show me why. Instead of them all going, oh, we got to put our Ghostbuster packs on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Paul Rudd is definitely capable of carrying a movie on his own.
Carrie Coon can do it.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. I think they don't trust the new cast as much as they should.
And I don't mind Dan Aykroyd being in it for a minute.
Yes.
Or a couple of minutes. Have him in, have Uncle Dan show up, do his thing, and out. Or maybe have all three of them in the same scene together, make it even quicker.
Have Dan Aykroyd be the Spider-Man Homecoming quote, guy in the chair. Dan Aykroyd could be the guy who stays behind and does the research for him.
Which would probably be a good job. And they could talk to all three of them, could have like a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And be discussing it, and then boom, done. He could be the Garcia of Criminal Minds.
I don't watch that show, but I'll take your word for it.
My wife and my kids watch it, so I'm up to date on Criminal Minds.
Okay.
But that's what I mean. I don't want to trash this franchise, because I think they're trying to do something. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is they don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, but I think we've already given them two shots at trying something.
And we're going to get a third that's made money.
Yeah, and I heard there is a cartoon in the works, I think. I don't know if it's for Netflix or if it's for a TV channel, but I heard there is a cartoon.
I'll watch it. What am I saying? I know I'm going to watch it. So.
All right.
I like the old cartoon.
Fair enough. All right, so I guess, are you ready to move on to the new Empire? Godzilla X Kong, New Empire, directed by Adam Wingard, starring Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, and Dan Stevens. And I will let you go first with this one since I went first on Ghostbusters.
You're going to kill me. I never thought I'd watch a movie that feels like a video game the whole time.
Okay.
Everything looked green screen. The beginning of the movie looked all green screened. I'm like, this is boring. And then we finally get to Godzilla. I'm like, okay, I'm bored again. This, again, looks like it was just shot on green screen. A guy in a suit. I got it. Okay. Then Rebecca Hall shows up with the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, what the hell happened there? Did you do something to your hair? Because you look terrible. I mean, I'm fine. If she's identifying as somebody else, I'm letting it go. But I mean, really, Rebecca Hall? This is how we're showing up to a movie now? And then I just felt Brian Tyree Henry had like wandered around filming things the whole movie. I'm like, are you doing anything? Uh-huh. Other than him telling her something. It was really weird. So they meet up finally. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Her kid's having issues because obviously she wants to go back to find her lost family. It kind of convinced me of that. So Hall goes to visit Tyrese Henry in his house. Mm-hmm. Literally, he says some mumbo jumbo. She's like, oh, we got to go. I'm like, whoa, can we spend a couple minutes here, like some exposition, explain to me what's going on? Nope, we got to go. Get to the chopper. And then they're off to the Kong land.
Yes.
What? Why? Like, because your daughter told you to go there and she's drawing some things? Like, I need some help. Some base. Slow this down for 5 minutes and explain to me a bit more. What is going on? Like, the kid obviously has problems in school. I get that. She doesn't speak. She only draws, and she's the last one of her kind. I got it. Wouldn't this, you hired somebody, you're rich, Rebecca Hall, to help her out? Maybe, like, people don't speak sign language and this and that. I'm like, is she in the wrong school?
Like, that's, I thought she was in, like, a special monarch school.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm like, I think she's in the wrong school. Shouldn't she go to school that they know how to speak sign language and all those guys, which not explained. So Tyree Henry shows up to this new lab with his video camera filming everything. And they have this funky spaceship I couldn't care less about. They meet up with some natives that figure out they need Kong and Godzilla there at the same time to fight the beast, right? Am I so far getting this right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Kong gets, like, the Infinity Gauntlet. And they can beat him.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And Kong finds a mate, so it's all good. This is one of the worst piles of crap I think I've seen all year. I was so bored after watching Godzilla Minus One, which it was perfect.
Yes.
To this garbage. This is why I hate this franchise. They rely on green screen all the time. Don't explain anything to me. And I just go, oh, look, it's a cool monster battle. And it's a boring monster battle. It looks awful. I can't take any more of these films. They're destroying Godzilla for me.
Well, all right. I kind of feel the way you did about this. I might be a little more lenient on it than you were.
Well, I was more lenient to Ghostbusters, so we got to give it to you.
I saw this one with my son, Dylan. Dylan loves Godzilla, so he wanted to see this. He told me, yeah, the movie was boring at times, but you know what? Godzilla suplexed King Kong.
He did.
That was awesome. But yeah, I mean, I found any time they went to the human characters that the movie just dragged, that it was
they
boring.
They don't have anything to add.
Yeah. A big pet peeve that I had was when Kong first goes and meets the other apes. There's the fight.
Yes.
King Kong beats the crap out of the young Kong. He uses him as a weapon. He picks him up by the leg and bashes the other apes with it. But then in the final battle, the Scar King hurts the young ape. And we're supposed to hate him because he hurt the little ape when King Kong did the exact same thing 40 minutes earlier in the film.
Correct. When he first meets, because he – did he hiss at Kong or something?
Yeah, something. And I
didn't care.
That bothered me. What are my other notes saying? Long scenes with human characters that feel like they go nowhere.
Hold on. There was one important human interaction. When Rebecca Hall shows up to Brian Tyree Henry, he goes, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. He looks at her, he goes, oh, yeah, I cut my hair. I used to have more hair. I'm like, oh, my God. You're kidding me. So you want to explain why you have no hair? Like, that was the whole thing. He doesn't remember you, even though you spent a whole 2 hours together, days, trying to stop Kong. He's just magically forgotten about you?
As I mentioned in Ghostbusters, there was another Skybeam in this movie, but it was kind of a throwaway. The Skybeam was just shot into the sky, started to make things cold, and then Godzilla just breathes his fire breath to make that Skybeam go away.
Come on, he's radioactive.
I will say there was one thing that I was impressed with in this movie. There are long scenes of apes just growling at each other. There's no subtitles, but you know exactly what those apes are saying.
Couldn't care less.
And I thought that was kind of impressive filmmaking. I ended up giving this a 2 out of 5. I had some fun with it, but it's really bottom of the barrel.
It's Godzilla terrible. Movie. I think they should call me and I will write them a Godzilla film. I'm bringing back the fairies. I'm bringing back Godzuki so Godzilla can slap him, so we can – Kong can slap him, I mean, and we can all hate Kong and love Godzilla because Godzuki got slapped. I got the whole film. And it could just be two guys sitting there like in a booth just discussing it, like WWE wrestling. I'm sure it'll be just as good as this.
Exactly.
And then I'll have a guy that's supposed to be a podcaster but takes video and just wanders around, doesn't really do anything. Yeah.
And then Dan Stevens just there for some reason spouting about peace and love.
Still not sure what Dan Stevens was doing there. Oh, no, doesn't he fly the ship at one point because it can do something?
Yeah, he flies the ship, and then it was his idea to give Kong the robot arm. And
yes, you know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get the chick from, my God, that show with Nathan Fillion with Jewel. She's the pilot, not Rookie, the one.
Oh, Firefly?
Firefly. I'll get the chick from Firefly to run my ship because nobody's seen her in 20 years, so nobody knows who it is. Okay. Actually, I'll get Jackie out of retirement. Jackie!
Okay.
And we'll get him. We'll do Cannonball Run 2. Or is he in one? I think he's in one.
Cannonball Run with King Kong. That could be fun.
I think that's what we should be doing. Yeah. I could do like Wacky Racers again.
Yes. And Kong could ride Godzilla like he does in this movie.
Perfect. Might as well. And he can show the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes.
Movie makes no sense. Adam Wingard, garbage. Thank you. More garbage.
All right. So I guess we could go on to Ricky Stenicki, directed by Peter Farrelly, starring Zac Efron, Jermaine Fowler, Andrew Santino and John Cena. I will jump in on this one. And just looking over my notes here, because I watched this a couple weeks ago.
So did I.
There's just something about Andrew Santino that I just don't like. Something, his face just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what it is. I'm sure he's probably a nice guy in real life. I just don't like him. And his character of JT in this movie was just a douchebag.
Yep.
And that didn't help me at all.
He's the guy with the baby you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yes. He's the guy whose wife was pregnant and gives birth in the beginning. I thought Cena was charming enough. Zac Efron, he just kind of coasts in this movie. He doesn't really do anything. Kind of felt like he was there for a paycheck. I did feel bad for William H. Macy. It was just painful to watch his scenes in this movie. I know he's a great actor, but the quote-unquote air-dicking scene in this movie, it was just painful to watch somebody that talented be in a scene like that. I did not laugh at this movie once. I gave it a 1 out of 5. I thought it was pretty bad.
I have to disagree with you 100%.
Okay.
I really started to like this movie.
Okay.
It took me a while. Like the first 20 minutes, like, I don't know if I like this. And then I got into it. I started liking these bunch of idiots. Jermaine Fowler made me laugh. I thought when John Cena started doing his onstage show.
Okay.
I was crying. I'm like, this is pretty funny. And then he jumps out as Britney Spears out of the window. I thought that was good. I thought once Cena shows up, this movie becomes decent.
Okay.
I liked all the Cena scenes. I love the part when they find, I'm going, well, how's this going to end? Is it going to end really dumb? I love the ending. I like the whole scenes with William H. Macy doing the dick thing. I thought was funny. I really got to say, I disagree with you totally on everything you're saying.
I
loved all the Cena stuff. I like Cena at work. And it just works. I mean, I don't think Zach had much to do, but I think he delivered his lines. I understood more about this than I did about King Kong.
Okay, that's fair.
And, I mean, it worked for me. I like the ending, how they switched it all around and they saved him. And that running joke that he's trying to run, the phone guys keep calling him, he's trying to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that paid off so well at the end.
Okay.
I thought the hair joke and the bowling ball wasn't too bad.
I don't remember that joke.
The one with the long hair, Cena starts dating, she gets stuck in the bowling.
Okay, yes, yes. Okay.
I thought that joke paid off. A lot of stuff for me worked. I guess it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. No. But I came out of something I expected, I was garbage, to something like, that was solid. I actually enjoyed this. See, it grew on me as the film went on. I'm like, I could take a part two in this right now. I don't know where they would go, but I kind of liked it. I liked the whole golf course scene with the duck sitting on the golf ball thinking it was her baby. And I kind of stopped. I have to totally disagree with you on Snooki Snicky. I actually liked this film, and I was given a recommend. I gave it a 3.
Okay, okay. That's
too funny that we have totally different agreements on it. I just thought it was funny.
Okay. Maybe we just have different senses of humor.
Well, I do. We do have. We know that. Yeah. You hate Rent, and I still don't understand why.
Oh, because it's bad. It's not well written at all. Oh, but that's, you know.
Here we go.
That's just my opinion.
You're welcome to your opinion. Okay. I'm not agreeing with it.
All right. Let's see. I guess our next movie, I don't know if we'll agree on this or not, but it's Damsel, directed by Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, starring Millie Bobby Brown, Ray Winston, Nick Robinson, Angela Bassett, and Robin Wright. I think it's your turn to go first on this one.
Oh, God. I couldn't get into this. I tried. Thought it would get better. No, still annoyed me. Again, I just thought it was a big CGI nightmare. I don't know what it is. I just do not think Millie Bobby Brown is a good actor. I know that Netflix does because they keep giving her me films with them, but Sherlock Holmes, whatever, young, the Miss Female Sherlock Holmes. I can't remember.
She's, I forget the name of those, but yeah, her Sherlock's little sister.
Yeah, I don't really like those. This, I thought, was a mess. That was very predictable. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anybody had anything to do. I thought that dragon was dumb as crap. He couldn't find her, really? Numerous times. I had to blow his breath and she was done. Mm-hmm. The end of the film was an absolute mess. Predictable. Silly. I was bored. I'm like, I didn't think the CGI looked good. I thought it was all shot on green screen, almost all of it. Did they even have a castle at the end, or was that a fake castle too? If you told me it was, I'd believe it.
Probably the courtyard was real.
That's about it. I just was bored. Literally bored. All the time. Now, I don't understand why they have another wedding to feed the dragon when they hadn't finished the first wedding. You see what I'm saying?
It's all tradition.
But no.
I get what you're saying.
She is the gets married or whatever and gets supposed to get eaten. I get that. She escapes to another wedding?
Because it's all the pomp and circumstance for the other, you know, for the parents of the brides-to-be so they don't think anything nefarious is going on.
But don't people realize it's been 4 or 5 times now? Like it's
probably the people in their kingdom, but not the people from the other lands where they're finding these princesses.
How further do they have to go to find them? I mean, you got the one close by, and then you're going further and further. Well, like, how many lands are there?
Pretty far. I mean, there was a big boat journey in this one to get Millie Bobby Brown and her family there.
Yeah, that is true. But I don't know. I just think this is a complete awful mess. Okay. Did not enjoy it. I gave it a big fat one.
Okay. This is the one where you and I disagree on this.
Oh, here we go.
I didn't hate it. I thought Angela Bassett, I think she can do no wrong. Her line, just because they are royalty doesn't make them good. I thought that was a great line. I thought the fire that the dragon breathed was pretty cool, that it was more like magma than actual flames. I do think that just 90% of this movie is Millie Bobby Brown screaming and grunting. She doesn't actually speak that much. I thought it was cool when the dragon crushed that dude's head at the end.
That was kind of cool.
When you see the flashback. I just had fun with this. Like you said with Ghostbusters, I think this movie was made for a younger teen audience.
Absolutely it was.
And I where you went with it with Ghostbusters, I went with it on this one. I thought this one, I didn't hate it. I gave it 3 out of 5.
Hold on. Ghostbusters had a lot more going on than this. This was very basic storytelling.
Yeah, but Ghostbusters had so many wasted actors.
So this didn't have any wasted moments of Millie Bobby Brown running around the caverns for 20 minutes? Half an hour?
But it didn't have Paul Rudd showing up to give 2 lines and then Carrie Coon to look at him disapprovingly.
And Robin Wright going, "God, do nothing else. Oh, she's not doing what we want her to do. She's not getting eaten. Oh."
Yeah, but that's Robin Wright's. That's her role in this. Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd are supposed to be the parents of Ghostbusters. And
not when they're doing a kids movie. It's a kids movie. I try to explain this to you. So is this. This is boring. You're wrong.
For a kids movie, though, this one was pretty gruesome. That dragon did squish that guy's head. Well, I guess we will go from a damsel who was in distress to The Gunfighter. A 1950s film directed by Henry King, starring Gregory Peck, Helen Westcott, Millard Mitchell, Gene Parker, and Carl Malden. I think it's my turn to go first. I really liked this movie. I thought this was a really good, just dark drama about what it would actually mean to be the fastest gun in the West. No matter where you went, there would always be some idiot out there who'd try to challenge you and try to take the crown for themselves, just to prove that they're better than you or just prove something to the world. So if you're out there and you're known as the best, it doesn't have to be gunfighter. It could be, you know, in modern day, it could be like, you know, a sports person, a boxer, a wrestler, whatever. Like if you're the best, there will always be somebody out there thinking they could be better than you. I thought this movie showed that really well. I think my favorite scene was at the end. After the guy takes a pot shot at Ringo and kills him. I loved the scene where the sheriff just kicked the shit out of the guy who did that. Just telling him, and he just lays out what his life is going to be because of the actions that he did. I love that scene. I thought Peck was amazing as the world-weary gunfighter. He just wanted to get on with his life, be with his wife and son, but he knew that no matter where he went, the people he loved would be in danger because there would be people out there taking shots at him. I thought this movie was so good. When you see Westerns about, you know, the fastest draw, quickest gun in the West, it's, you know, it's the celebrity. They're more, I guess, happy tales. This one was just dark and depressing, and I just really liked it.
Wow, we definitely hate each other this show. I thought Gregory Peck was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. I thought Carl Malden was great. Shot the Sheriff was great. But man, too much talking. Way too much talking in this film. I want action. More action. Some kind of action. Okay. Just took forever. And then I get all excited when you get to the end. I'm like, all right, we got the big showdown. Nothing happens. The mm-hmm. brothers just kind of go away. This guy shoots him in the back. I'm like, that's it? That's all I get? Really? You made me sit through an hour and a half of this and nothing happens? Disappointing.
Oh, man.
Okay. I needed more action for me. I needed something. Like, I mean, I think Gregory Peck does a great job. I just thought there would be a big action scene at the end.
Okay. I can see where you're disappointed in that.
I was just like, okay, let's go, guys. Something to go. Let's do something. Okay. I think my biggest problem was I just watched Flaming Star with Elvis before this.
Okay.
And that was absolutely awful. And very similar film. Like, I just watched this film. It was Elvis is working for, Elvis just doesn't matter. We're not getting a flaming star, but it's similar to some of the things. Not enough action. But I think Elvis had more action than this film. I just wanted more. I got it. I was just like, come on, do something. You're supposed to be the best gunfighter. Fight somebody.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think this was supposed to be an action movie. I think this was supposed to be more of a meditative drama.
It is a meditative drama. Put me right to sleep half the time.
Okay.
I mean, I love Gregory Peck. There was no issues with the acting. I needed more.
Okay.
I thought I liked this. I liked all the scenes. I liked the setup. I'm just like, is this going to do anything? But no. You get to the end, it's like, it's like that balloon you spent 10 minutes blowing up, then your kid comes in the room and you let it go.
Yes.
That's exactly how I felt about this film. But I do agree. The end scene is great. It's probably my favorite scene is the end scene.
It's kind of like that that Brad Pitt movie, The Assassination of
Jesse James.
Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
I hated that film too. It's exactly the same thing. Put me right to sleep. Absolutely could have had a nap during this. Woke me up to the end. I might have liked it.
Okay.
Disappointing. Absolutely disappointing.
All right, well, we're on opposites again. I gave this one a 4 out of 5.
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
I rated Ricky Stenicki higher.
Oh man, that is a crime against film. Well, I guess we'll have to see how you feel about Godzilla 2000, directed by Takeo Okiwara, starring Takahiro Murata, Hiroshi Abe, and Naomi Nishida.
Take everything I said about Godzilla versus King Kong and the positives, and this is not in this movie. This is terrible. This is like made for 8-year-olds. Yeah. Literally an 8-year-old tuning on TV. Oh, we need to watch Godzilla movie, Mom. What the hell is this garbage, Doug?
This is
one of the worst Godzilla films I've ever seen. They are getting worse again. I thought I saw some improvement last film. It's all gone in this film. Storyline is dumb as a brick. That main army guy who's in charge of whatever is just a dick. Mm-hmm. Cookie cutter dick. That's it. Doesn't do anything other than, my dad's still in the building. Blow it up. I'm like, really? And that's okay. I'm trying to figure out how they woke up the prehistoric spaceship that's been around for 5 billion years or whatever.
I don't know.
That would be nice to explain to me why possibly it showed up and then it magically wants to change Earth into it. So it showed up so many years ago, got stuck somehow, is what I understood. And somehow Godzilla got it out. And now it's here to change Earth's atmosphere.
Yes.
So, but it's been gone for 5 million years or whatever. Is the civilization it came from still around?
Don't know. It was probably just an automated system.
Like, you see what I'm saying here? I have some basic problems here. So this ship that's been missing for 5 million years, nobody's come to Earth again to investigate or try to change our atmosphere?
I guess not.
So what's the point? So let's say the ship succeeds. What happens next? The civilization it came from is obviously dead.
Yeah.
That base issue I had problems with. I'm like, did you guys think and read this script and put this together that wherever this came from, they're all dead?
Well, I mean, it's not like aliens haven't been in the Godzilla movies before.
Not
so
from 5 million years ago.
Well, they could the aliens we've seen could have been the same aliens, and this was just a leftover thing.
So the cockroaches, that's the guys from the cockroaches from way back when, or these guys?
It's possible. We don't know. We don't see what these aliens look like.
Or that guy that he thinks he's the Terminator guy that running around really fast on their spaceship. That's not these guys either.
It could be. We don't know.
This is painful. Yeah. Absolutely painful. Uninteresting at times. bordering on cliche, boring, and I'd say one of the worst in the franchise.
This is a movie we actually agree on. One thing you didn't mention that I have in my notes, this was a dark movie. And I'm not talking about thematic or anything.
Oh, it was dark.
I'm saying it was hard to see. Like the opening and close, the beginning and ending of this movie, I could barely make out what was going on.
I have no idea.
It was so dark. You couldn't see a thing. And there were scenes, like the slapstick scenes in this movie just felt so out of place to me. The one scene where the woman's getting directions and the guy's turning and whacking the guy kneeling in the head with the big stick that he's this movie was awful. This was worse than Godzilla X Kong. I agree with you on that.
I agree with you 100%. Half a star.
Yeah, this is a one star.
I think we're down to like five left to watch, though, Doug. We're almost done Toho.
Well, so we'll get to Shin Godzilla eventually.
Well, by the end of the year, we'll be done, and I'll have to find something new to watch that has 30 films in it. But I do have an idea.
James Bond. That's the only thing I can think of that has 30.
No, I think the Carry On movies from England.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Which I've never seen one of them, so...
Yeah, me neither.
Get ready.
I think you're hoping on a dream on that one, but we'll see. The next movie I have on our list is Cabin in the Sky from 1943, directed by Vincent Minnelli, which I read this was actually his first directorial effort.
It is his first directorial effort, which I did put on an earlier list, and Doug didn't pick it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're getting it eventually. I knew that.
This stars Ethel Waters, Eddie Anderson, Leno Horn, Rex Ingram, and a bunch of like musicians too. I know Louis Armstrong was in there as a trumpeter. I think it's my turn to go first.
It is.
I like the supernatural stuff in this movie. I like the angels and the demons. I like them fighting each other. I thought the scene in hell was actually really clever and really funny. That they're in the one air conditioned room in hell. I like that concept a lot. It was. The music was all very good. I mean, like I said, it has Louis Armstrong in there, so you know the music's going to be good. I don't really know what else I could say about this movie. There was one line that really just kind of stood out to me as, oh, you can't do that now. At the end, when they're being weighed on to whether they will go to heaven or hell, and the angel says to the woman, oh, you were just acting up to get Joe back again. We can understand your outburst. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What the fuck was that? You can't do that nowadays. You can't say a woman was acting up just to get a man back. So from 2024, looking back at a 1943 movie, that rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. But I enjoyed it. I gave this one 3 out of 5.
I agree. I get the same score, but I want to get a little more in depth. That woman, Pearl, is that her name in the movie?
I think so, yes.
That's the most beautiful voice I've never heard. Oh, my God. She could sing anything she wanted to me, and I'd be like, it. And I didn't find the musical numbers so much in my face as I thought they would be. I find they really structure them to feel. And I like Vanelli's shooting. I got to say, he gave me a lot of different shots in the musical I haven't seen before. And I liked it. I thought the story was a little cliche, a little basic, but it worked for me. That devil guy was great. The angels arguing was just wonderful. I love the costuming in this. I thought the costuming probably would have got an Oscar for now, for sure, if this came out.
Yes. But for 1933, it got a nomination for something.
Well, I'll look it up. It was costuming. I didn't quite like that. I thought Lena Horne was wonderful. I like the whole thing. I like how he bought her a washing machine. That made me laugh for her birthday. He goes, oh, I got you a washing machine. That made me laugh, seeing an old washing machine. I thought that was good. I like the end of the movie. I thought was good. It's solid. Again, and I enjoyed the songs. I did have a little bit of problem in the very end scene because I couldn't see her going there. I know she went in to St. Joe. Mm-hmm. I thought that scene was a little muddled at times. Like, I think there was too much going on in it for this.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, the very end of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And when a certain person gets shot, the other person could have escaped, but decides not to?
Yes.
And I'm like, no, God, right up the stairs, like out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and then that sets them up, obviously, for the heaven hell scene again. I'm like, okay, I'll let it go. But I think that I just had a lot of problems, but I love the singing. Oh, my God, the singing was so beautiful at this at times. Mm-hmm. And I thought everybody worked together. I think Vincent Minnelli proves to us right here why he's a good director. First out the gate, I was impressed with this film.
Yes. And this is actually the first time I've seen what's his name? Eddie Anderson, not with Jack Benny. He was Rochester in the Jack Benny show. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've never seen the Jack Benny show. So
yeah, this was the first time I saw him not playing that character. So that was really interesting for me.
So what did this get nominated for?
Best Original Song. Happiness is a Thing Called Joe.
Okay, she sings that.
Yes.
No, I thought she was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I thought everybody was really good in this.
So, yeah, like I said, I gave this a 3 out of 5 to get the same score, and I enjoyed it. So, as people know, going forward, when it's my list time, you'll know we'll have another Vince Minnelli film.
All right, so many that's...
Vince Minnelli films I haven't seen. So I picked somebody that was a little different from the last one.
So instead of Billy Wilder, it's Vincent Minnelli now.
Get ready. We got to watch some more deeper film.
Okay.
Something
that
different.
That is okay. All right. So
I'm
now
sure you
I
have
guess,
some sitting on your shelf you don't know about.
It's possible. I'm not sure I've ever actually seen a Vincent Minnelli movie. So, well, now
you
I have.
Seen Meet Me in St. Louis?
No.
Oh, I have seen. I've seen a lot.
Okay.
I'm just filling in my holes.
Okay.
It's like my gazelle holes. Said. I'm filling in those too. Yes, that's what she said.
Okay. I guess we're on to our last movie of the episode, and this was a Doug's choice. And I did not pick what you wanted me to pick.
No, which is fine. I give Doug choices for a reason.
Yes. And I picked The Believer, a 2002 movie directed by Henry Bean. The reason I picked it was because it stars Ryan Gosling, and I'm now on a big Ryan Gosling kick. So
it worked out for you. You didn't pick Fun with Lisa Witt, which I wanted to see.
Yes.
And I could have put it on, not let you pick, but I think it's more fun to let you pick.
Mm-hmm. Whose turn is it to go first with this one?
I don't remember who did. No, you did Cabin in the Sky first. So
yes.
It'd be me.
So it's you.
I had a lot of problems with this film. I thought it didn't make a lot of sense at times. I found the lead character of Gosling lacked motivation. Like, I really didn't really understand why he was choosing his path half the time, then decided not to choose his path. I was having a lot of problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he had inner turmoil. I got that. I just realized he was having problems. Mm-hmm. But I really felt the end of the film didn't end where I wanted it to end. I really wanted the other ending.
Okay.
I finally found it kind of cheated itself at the end to make Gosling redeemable. And I'm like, is he redeemable or is he even know what he wants yet? Like, I never felt he knew where he was going.
That is fair.
And I don't think it gave me enough to make a decision on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would do everything. He'd do some things, not do, oh, don't do that. I'm like, are you with these guys or not with these guys? You're telling them not to do things. And then so, I mean, I don't even understand why he's here in the first place. Like, I have so many questions about this film coming out of it. I didn't enjoy it, really. I was kind of bored most of the time. And I think the main character, they never give me enough to understand his motivations. Or really, I don't get to know anybody else other than the girl he's dating.
Okay, that's fair. Those are fair criticisms.
And that's my criticisms. Yes.
I think the main issue you're having about not knowing this guy's motivation, I think that probably comes from because it's based on a real guy.
See, I didn't know that. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So the real guy himself might not know his own motivation. I mean, this is a fictionalized version of the story, but the reporter that's in this movie who interviews him and finds out that he actually is Jewish, that is true. That is a true thing that happened to a person. A real person who grew up Jewish was a neo-Nazi. So it's kind of based on a real guy. And I think that real person probably themselves didn't know their motivation for doing what they did. I thought Ryan Gosling was pretty damn good in this movie.
No issues with Gosling.
I think he is pretty enough that you believe the women would fall for him.
Yes.
But I also thought he was still scary enough as a neo-Nazi to really intimidate people. I mean, I've seen these types of films before, like American History X, a person who's brought up in hate or is part of a hate group, and then they come out of it. But I've never seen anything quite like the scared straight scene in this movie, where the group of neo-Nazis go and speak to Holocaust survivors. I thought that was really well done when you see Gosling internalize that one man's story about how his son was killed in front of him. And you see that story multiple times from Gosling's perspective, where one time he's imagining himself as the father, one time he's imagining himself as the Nazi who kills the son. I thought that was really well done here. But yeah, I agree with you that we have seen these types of stories before. The ending, yeah, we kind of saw that coming. I mean,
yep.
You knew from seeing how he reacted to the holy relics being how he would fix them, how he taped it back together, and how he prayed over it, that he kind of was trying to redeem himself, whether he knew
but
it
why?
Or not.
But why would he do that when he's with the other guys? That was my issue.
Honestly, I think it just comes down to he's not mentally all there. He is a sick character. I don't think he himself probably knows why he either hates or respects Judaism. But yeah, I also really like seeing a very young Eben Moss Backrack in his first screen appearance as the waiter at the deli. And now he's going to be the thing in the MCU Fantastic Four. So I thought that was really cool to see. And I love Garrett Dillahunt, character actor Garrett Dillahunt. He played one of the neo-Nazis in this movie hanging out with Ryan Gosling. So anytime I get to see one of my favorite character actors in a movie, I'm happy. So yeah, I gave this 3 out of 5. I think it was good. I think Gosling is fantastic in this. I just don't think I ever really need to see it again. I'd rather watch a happy Gosling movie with The Nice Guys or Barbie. I'll watch one of those again.
Oh, you're not going to watch I've forgotten that name of that movie with Rachel McAdams. And he keeps
The Notebook?
Notebook, that's it.
I've never actually seen The Notebook.
I have seen The Notebook, so I liked it. Let's not go into that. Doug, did you buy anything this week?
I actually did not. I spent too much time watching Mean Girls.
Wow. Okay. Well, then that's it. If you want to email us, it's extrafeatures@gmail.com.
Tell me all about The Notebook.
And I'm not telling you anything about The Notebook. I liked it. We have lots of stuff on our YouTube. And if they make it,
we will watch it, provided it has Ryan Gosling in it.